Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
Hey, I am doing amazing, my friend. Thank you so much for having me today.
Jeremy, first of all, tell us a little bit about what are you doing and actually what are you working on?
So really, I'm working on scaling my podcast as I get to talk to a lot of incredible people, as well as growing our agency, Command Your Brand Media, which is a PR firm for the podcast industry. We really help people to get their message out there in the right way, get booked in the right places, and also teach content repurposing. So that's really my major focus right now, is just getting all of that stuff, you know, going to the next level.
Great. Jeremy, I know you have a very interesting story. Tell us how did you start and what's your entire story actually?
So funny enough, I was a newspaper boy from the time I was 11 till 17, and I did very, very well selling newspapers, but for some reason just decided not to be an entrepreneur from that point on. I went to school for a double major in Catholic theology and also Old Testament. Then I studied literature at New College, Oxford, and got my master's in ancient history. And from there, it's kind of like, well, what do you do with that? Like, it's cool to be educated, but it's not really applicable in the job market, because I had applied to one PhD program because I wanted to be a college professor, and it just didn't really work out. I ended up teaching high school here in the U.S., which is like ages, 13 to like 18. And it was rough, man. I just was not happy those 2 years. I didn't have classroom management skills. I wasn't really able to, you know, portray the information to the kids the way they needed to hear it. And in that second year, my mom ended up having a really, really bad stroke. And she lost all of her language skills. She lost the use of the right side of her body. And it really kind of hit me hard. I had had a major knee surgery when I was 19. And I'd actually gotten last rites. Like, they brought the priest in and, you know, they thought I was, you know, kind of kaput, like this wasn't going to go any further. And it didn't really change my life until at 24, I almost lost my mom. And I guess it's because it's something outside of yourself, right? You stop being so self-centered and you think about other people and you realize that life is a finite thing. So I kind of went through a bunch of different things, man. I did network marketing. I sold life insurance. I sold products on Amazon. And I was good enough at any of those things, but nothing had really changed the game. And I had been listening to podcasts since about 2009, when it was still like a lot of audiobooks and stuff like that. And I had always just done it as a hobby. And then when all this stuff just didn't go right, I had actually started working at a friend's marketing firm, building websites. I had taught myself from YouTube. And I just decided I'd start a podcast as a side project. And it was absolutely horrible. Like, it was trash. So it lasted about 60 days. I quit it. And 6 months later, I started my current show, which is called The Create Your Own Life Show. And it's really, you know, had 10,000 listens in its first 30 days. We've had almost 700 interviews at this point with business celebrities, musicians, athletes, incredible people. And that's really what's led to our agency, which is Command Your Brand.
How old is your podcast?
I started it, the first one I started in 2014, but I started this version of it, the Create Your Own Life Show, in November 20th of 2015.
Okay. And for this one, you have 700 episodes?
We have, so 686 came out today, and we're over 2.5 million listens.
Wow. 2.5 million?
Yes, sir.
Wow. And most of them are interviews?
I do two interviews a week. And then I also, on Friday, I do one episode of what's called the Freestyle Friday. So it may be a short segment from myself. It may be a speech from history that was in the public domain, meaning I'm allowed to repurpose it without having to get rights. Maybe something I learned during the week, or sometimes I'm doing Facebook Live interviews and things like that. So it may be one of those as well. So it's some piece of content that has to do more with my own create, whereas the other two interviews that I do every week are always interviews with world-class performers.
Since you have a lot of experience with podcasting, let's talk a little about how to use podcasting and how to use a podcast to build your business.
So I think there's a few things you got to look at here, man. And I think often I had a lot of false ideas when I first went into this, and I don't know if you did, but I know, like, I had a lot of false ideas. Like, I saw that people were starting podcasts like Entrepreneur on Fire, and they were making all this money off advertising and doing all these different things. So I thought when I started this podcast, it was going to, like, like the stars were going to open up, the heavens were going to come down, and I was just going to like know everything that was, you know, going on in my future. And it wasn't like that. And what happened is I really understood the true value of a podcast. A podcast is about developing a brand, getting seen, creating content, and actually raising your own standing, meaning you're seen as more of a expert in your area. But then at the same time, it's an incredible networking tool as well, because you know, I talk about the 686 interviews I've done. Those are people that, like, if I didn't have a podcast, they wouldn't really have a reason to connect with me. So it's been this powerful platform for really connecting with the right people to, you know, either network or work with or do an interview or whatever it may be. So it changed the game in a lot of ways. Like, it got me seen in a lot more places. The business I currently have, I had quit the business I was doing, and the business I currently have is what grew out of it. I've gotten more keynote speaking. I've gotten in a lot of places. So first and foremost, you have to realize what those false ideas are and really how you can get by those, because I think a lot of people get stuck on those. So I started realizing, like, I have to function more as a professional. So that means the audio quality has to be good. It means the interviews have to be good. And the brand, like I said, branding was vital to that, but then also the commitment as well, because I see so many new podcasters, they say, okay, I'm going to do this for 60 days. And that's just not really long enough of a commitment. You have to be willing to be in this for a year to see the success, and sometimes even longer.
Stay for 2 years.
Right. You have to be committed, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's really the first thing that has to be in place is that mindset shift. But then there's really like three things you have to be looking at. The first is creating a process, because I think so often people spend so much time on editing their show, on putting together their show, on doing all these different things. And it's really about creating a process around that. So, and it's funny because this applies to your podcast, but it can also apply to anything else you're doing in your business. So mm-hmm. I like to do this in two different ways. Well, I use both things. The first being I take a Google Doc and I write down every single step that has to be done in something, whether it's podcast editing, whether it's guest booking, whatever it may be. And then I actually use an app called Loom. Are you familiar with Loom?
I heard about it.
So it lets you record what you're doing on your screen with audio over top of it. So then what mm-hmm. I do to accompany that video or that written process, I create a video of me doing the process while narrating it. So it's something that's going to be very, very easy to hand off to somebody else. And then what I do is I get an intern, you know, a kid that's in college and is looking for experience. And I really just work that through for that with them. And then I decide, hey, am I going to hire a virtual assistant in some place like, you know, the Philippines or India or something like that? Or is this something that I'm going to run here in the US? So you have to have your process in place first and foremost, because you can spend so much time putting together a podcast and everything around it, and you're going to like burn yourself out, man. So that's really the first thing you have to have in place. The second thing is your targeting, right? You have to be thinking about who is the people you want to talk to and like, what do they look like? Because I find often that, at least for me, the caliber of who I was talking to is a lot of what my podcast is built off of. So it was really, really important to me to be talking to the highest performers out there. And that was really one of the big differences, you know, in addition to significantly better audio from my first podcast to my second, is I really decided I wanted to talk to people that were high performers in their space. And I actually made a list of the top 100 people I most admired before I knew that there was something called a top 100 developed by Chet Holmes. And I reached out to a lot of those people early on. And that really helped me. I had a very high rate of those people agreeing to schedule. And that helped me to have that first month of 10,000 listens. And then what it does is it creates credibility for future people to book on the show, because then you can say, I've interviewed, you know, this guest and that guest and this guest. So it gives you some credibility to be able to do that. And it's funny because as the people I was talking to, as their standing was growing, I was having to learn more about like areas to reach out and how to do it. So I found the first thing I had started with was using something called Hunter.io. And that's a tool that lets you put in any website and it scrapes the internet and it tells you what the existing emails are on that website. So I could use that to then reach out to these guests that I wanted to speak to. And it worked pretty well for that initial 100. But as I said, as I climbed the ladder, as I wanted to get some more of these people, I found a couple more tools. And one was IMDb Pro, and IMDb stands for Internet Movie Database. So anytime mm-hmm. that anyone's ever been in a movie, all of their information, like their assistant, their publicist, all this stuff is stored in this website. And I think it's like $30 a month or something to be a member over there. And the other tool I learned about was called contactanycelebrity.com. And I think it's like $2.97 for a year. But you get all of these different celebrities. Like I booked Danica Patrick, who's a race car driver, on my show through using Contact Any Celebrity. Mm-hmm. So it really gave me an ability to talk to more people. But then I also had to learn like who are the right people to talk to. So I learned that the person's always going to be the best. If you can get them, you're going to have a better shot at booking them. Their assistant is the next best. As you go further out, you're looking for their publicist. And any further out than that, man, it's a lot harder to get that thing booked. The person you never want to pitch is what's called a speaker agent. And what happens is business professionals or celebrities will hire a speaker agent when they want to go speak on stages or get paid speaking. So that person's thinking with all opportunities that come through me are paid opportunities. So that's not really a person you want to speak to. So like I said, the first thing is creating a process. The second thing is, you know, how you're booking your guests and what you're doing with it. But then the third thing is like making sure this is actually lined up with your business. So I find so often people are like, well, should I continue doing this podcast? You know, should I keep doing it? It's not producing any money for me. And that's when you need to take a look at like what your alignment is. Like if your business is your podcast, that's maybe not be the best thing to think about. It should be built into another business you already have, whether it's, you know, a marketing business, a PR business, whatever it is. It helps you to create more credibility so you can create more sales in your current business. I think a podcast is one of the best branding tools out there. So those are really the things I'm looking at. And I guess I'll hand it back to you, man, because I don't want to feel like I'm taking up all your airwaves here. But that those are the major things, like when you're using a podcast as your center content tool, that I'm really looking at in terms of getting out there.
Yeah, actually, these are really great tools. I didn't know about them. And I just noted, Jeremy, we talked a few days ago. You said something about the small pound strategy. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, I find that everybody thinks big out of the gate, and that's not a bad thing. Like, I'm a big thinker. It's really important. And they're like, oh, I want to get Forbes, and I want to get Inc., and I want to get all these different places. Mm-hmm. But what they actually neglect is their small community they're a part of. And what I like to say is that everybody is smart, is part of what I call a small pond. You know, it may be your university. It may be the community you live in. Like, I live in a lake community, and they have a magazine that goes to everybody in the community. It may be a small local newspaper. Like, we have a newspaper here in the, you know, county area around where I live. Mm-hmm. And it goes to, I think, like 5,000 homes or something in this area for free on a Thursday. So we ran a lot of press releases in that paper. So you want to find out what the small local groups are that care about you and really start figuring out how you can do something with those news sources. So what I did is I did some web searching early on, and I found out there were some small local newspapers, regional newspapers, online publications, and I made a list of all of them. And what I did is when noteworthy things first happened in my podcast, like we hit 10,000 downloads. In the grand scheme of things, that's not really a big deal, but for people that don't know podcasting, it sounds like a big deal. So I then wrote a press release. There's an excellent article by HubSpot, if you just Google HubSpot press release, on how to write a press release. And I wrote a press release to each one of these individual places, one being the Advertiser News, another being the New Jersey Herald, a regional newspaper called the Bergen Record. And what they would do is, because I'm in a small town and these are small groups, they're going to run those press releases. So you don't have a ton of competition. And it's interesting because as everything's online now, the world that we live in has changed so much. Not only does it run in the print version, a lot of times it runs in the web version as well. So now you're creating backlinks to your website and you're creating a digital footprint. And that allows you to get your first press features where there's not a ton of competition. And I'm not going to promise this happens for everybody, but when the regional newspaper, the Bergen Record, ran one of my press releases, a producer for a television channel in New York City happened to read that press release and said, oh, podcasting, that's kind of interesting. And that was how I got on TV the first time, is they did a television spot with me about podcasting. So you want to find out what these small groups are and really start figuring out how you can reach out to them, whether it's small podcasts, whether it is your university. all these different places. And then you create a page in your website called a media page. And that's where you store all the logos and all the links to all these different places that you're featured. So then as you want to start reaching out to bigger and bigger media, whether it's an Inc. or a Forbes or something like that, you start to have some press features so you look more credible. But also at the same time, since I'm always thinking in SEO, in search engine optimization, you're creating backlinks to your site and you're creating greater ability for yourself to be found online using a lot of these smaller publications that other people just aren't fighting for because they don't think about it. They think, I want the bigger publications.
What are some other ways to promote a podcast, to get attention for a podcast?
So I'm a huge believer in PR, you know, being, you know, the publications like I was talking about. But another one is also writing. So one of the things I did as well is I've written for a lot of industry publications. So it started out with smaller ones, and then I wrote for business.com. And now I'm an editor at Grit Daily News, and also an editor at newtheory.com. But writing for different publications in your niche is a really, really great way as a guest poster or as a contributor, because it helps people to see your credibility. And it also, I tend to write about my interviews. I'm writing about things I learned in the interviews, which sends traffic back to them. So that's one way. Another way is really how you're promoting this stuff as well, because I find that a lot of people don't think in terms of content marketing. So what that means is one of the places I get the most of my traffic from right now, honestly, is LinkedIn. And what I'm doing is I'm writing long form story posts and explaining about the interview and kind of getting people really, really interested in listening to that. And they're getting tens of thousands of views on LinkedIn. And that's driving a lot of listeners to then download and listen to my podcast. So writing for industry publications, knowing how to use this stuff properly on your social channels and not just posting a link and being like, hey, why the heck isn't it working? Mm-hmm. But then the other thing is also what we do at Command Your Brand. And that's appearing on other podcasts in your niche as a guest. Because if you're trying to grow your podcast, like, it makes sense to market to other people that already listen to podcasts rather than having to explain to somebody what a podcast is, that it exists, and how you have to subscribe to them, which, gosh, you probably know as well as me. Like, man, like, to explain to somebody that doesn't know what a podcast is, how to subscribe to one, is hard as anything. So you want to start with smaller shows. That means less than 20 episodes and less than 20 reviews. And when I say this, I'm talking about in Apple Podcasts. There's a great tool called Chartable.com where you can actually gather a lot of this information easily. And, you know, reaching out to shows with less than 20 episodes and less than 20 reviews is a great way to get started. And as you build up on more of those, you reach out to a more mid-tier show, which is more than 50 episodes and more than 100 reviews. And you keep going up and up and up until, you know, you're hitting a lot of these shows with maybe like 2,500 reviews and, you know, top 50 in your niche. But it's a process of figuring out what's the lowest level I can start on and continually building up to that. So it's not just one thing you need to do, but it's a multiple pronged approach. Writing for publications in your industry, appearing on the right podcasts, and learning how to do content marketing better for the episodes that you're doing on your social channels.
Okay, great. And why do you start with the smaller shows?
Honestly, because they're more attainable. They're more attainable because when a show is brand new, like, they need content, yeah. they need guests. There's not as much competition for that show. And it also allows you to, I'll be honest with you, my first couple interviews as a guest, I was not great. So I had to get a lot better at doing that. What's that?
You gain experience. You build experience.
Yeah, you gain experience and you create what we call in the PR and media world a portfolio, which is a collection of all these different places you've been featured. So it's much, much easier to approach bigger places because you look like a safe bet and you look like you are an expert in your area.
What do you think about repurposing content, like, you know, the content you publish in your podcast to use it in a different form?
Oh, perfect. So one of the tools I'll do is I'll transcribe episodes, and I use a tool called Rev.com for that. And it's pretty good. It's like 98% accurate to turn a podcast episode into actual typed form. And I may use that then to create quote cards from the episode. Another favorite tool that I have is Headliner.app. And what that actually does is that you can create like a waveform in front of a static image with the captions on it. So it actually turns a audio clip from a podcast into a cool little video. And those are really a couple of my favorite things to do. But like I said, I'm really focusing on writing stories about my interviews. And if people want to check out, you know, how I do that by following me on LinkedIn, I think that would be the best way to see that. but really you get three lines before there's a little button that says see more. So I really focus on something shocking, something emotional, or something very interesting before I tell the rest of the story, because you only have 1,300 characters. So, you know, you tell it in a story form, you skip lines in between because most of the people are reading these on a mobile device. And for me, I'm really focusing on doing a ton on LinkedIn right now.
Yeah, so LinkedIn, it's very useful. It works for you.
Oh, 100%, man. Like it could change in the next year or so. So it's kind of like if people aren't on LinkedIn yet or aren't doing it like this on LinkedIn yet, like get over there, man, and take advantage of the good traffic while it's still there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One last question. About building processes, basically you outsource much of your tasks. How do you build processes for that? I mean, how do you organize yourself to outsource everything and to work with freelancers?
I use Google Drive for literally everything. And I have folders for different like jobs in my company. And then people only get access to the folder that applies to their job. And that has what I talked about earlier, which is the written how to do it, and then also the video of how to do it. And then we hire a lot of our freelancers on onlinejobs.ph, which is a Philippine-based company for which is basically a job board. And that's the place where we hire. And the thing that's cool is like here in the U.S., the U.S. dollar is worth $48 in the Philippines. So when you hire somebody for $2 or $3, $4, $5 an hour, like it's really, really great money there. And you're kind of taking advantage of the currency exchange. So that's really how I'm doing it. And then we use tools like My Hours to track time. And, you know, all of our meetings are on Zoom conference. We have a team meeting every Monday that kind of sees how everybody's doing. So those are really the things that we're focusing on to run a, you know, team of virtual assistants. We do have a lot of people here in the US as well, but to running our virtual team and really keeping everybody on the same page.
Jeremy, thanks for this. It was interesting. And actually, I learned a lot of things, and I have to check a lot of new tools I didn't know about.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me. And I really hope we were able to help out your listeners today, man.